We're going to look here at Psalm 139. This is going to be, I guess you could say, the introduction of the title of the message, Psalm 139. We're going to read 1 through 16, and then we'll skip down to verse 23. Will you stand with me for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? Psalm 139, the psalmist asks some pretty point-blank questions. Starting here in verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now, I can't speak for you, but I was a pretty good age before I really understood that. I was like the Reader's Digest to God. There was nothing hidden from God in my heart. I didn't understand that till a little bit older age. So the psalmist says, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whether shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me, or about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest places of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now look at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. I want you to go back to verse 1. Thou hast searched me and known me. And now he is asking for God to do that. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, we ask You to add Your blessings to the reading and preaching of Your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. Simple title is Where to Run. Where to Run. And my direction in this is not trying to encourage you to think, where should I go, as much as when you find yourself in the inevitable desperate situation. Mandy talked about a hospital stay. I will tell you that for Mandy, that was a desperate situation. 10 years ago, on my back, broken wrist, broken hip. Desperate situation. Lynn Prince, last Saturday, 4 strokes. Desperate situation. Some of you heard about Matt Sohn Wednesday evening. Head-on car collision. 1 fatality. Praise God, it was not Matt. He has a broken L2. Desperate situation. We could go on and on. The cancer list. Desperate situation. Where to run? When you and I, we either have, are, or will be in a desperate situation, where to run? There is a wonderful Southern gospel song entitled, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? This psalm is probably at least some of the inspiration for that song. Because the reality is there's nowhere that you and I can go that we can get away from the Lord. So that might as well be the answer to the question, where to run when you and I get in desperate situations. We run to the Lord. The answer to the question of the psalmist, where can I go that you are not there, is nowhere. S.M. Lockridge used to say that God is everywhere here. He has no place to go. Could not agree with that more. However, way too many times in our life, we need to run to God, but for too many reasons to discuss here. So what we want to do today is point to the many expressions of God that we can run to. I don't know if you caught that, and I'm not trying to devise any kind of new opinion, but to me it just made sense. The many expressions of God that we can run to hopefully be an encouragement the next time we need to run for help, spiritually, physically, mentally, socially, emotionally. I can't speak for you, but something along those lines happens almost every day. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, I come to a desperate place. Where to run when it is obvious you need to run somewhere or to someone? So point number one, where to run. The person of God. Let's start where we should always start. The person of God. Listen to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, there is an entire sermon in just those verses. And we're not going to go into that today because that's just a verse on one point of where to run. But Jesus, God Himself, is saying to you, come unto me, the person of God. Come unto me. You're laboring. You're heavy laden. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. I love this. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. I'm meek. That's not weak. It's meek. I've got power under control. You see everything around you? I made it. I control this joint. Come to me. I will help you, God is saying. I'm lowly in heart. You can come to me grousing and complaining. I will listen. I will be small, still voice. But sooner or later, when you're exhausted, you're worn out giving your opinion, I'll tell you what your Creator has planned for you. Come unto me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And I'm going to tell you this next part. It just absolutely blew my mind for years until, praise God, the Holy Spirit let me in on it. And this is my opinion. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As a young preacher at CBC, I could not agree with that. Lord, your yoke's not easy. This life is hard. Everything you want me to do, I don't want to do. And it was right then that the Holy Spirit, pink, turned the light on. That's why it's hard, Ben. You haven't done what Paul says do. I die daily. Then when you crucify the flesh, when you quit listening to what the world says, when you start resisting the devil, son, my yoke will be easy, my burden will be light, because I will carry it for you. Folks, that's powerful stuff. So where do we run? The person of God. Point number two, where to run? The name of God. I think of my wife every time I hear this verse. When we were dating and she was in college, this was her go-to verse. Proverbs 18, 9 through 11. He also that is slack in his work is brother to him that is a destroyer. And you might wonder why I started there. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own imagination. There are three individuals named in those three verses. The slack, meaning the lazy guy, the destroyer, and the rich man. And most likely, you in your life have come up against it with one of those people or all three of those people at a different time. But watch this. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. And so you've got a person that's not pulling their share at work. The Lord is your strong tower. You've got someone that is trying to wreck what you have. The Lord is your strong tower. You have someone that is trying to push their influence, power, fame, wealth, whatever the case may be. The Lord will fight your battles. Where to run? The name of God. Call His name out. I try to be faithful to this. Surely, men, we can be mugged in the situation, but we all know in our society that the ladies are more likely to receive some sort of aggression if they are in, if you will, the wrong place at the right time, whatever the case may be. Hear me. If you find yourself being attacked, call upon the name of Jesus. Scream His name. Scream His name. Make sure your attacker knows who he's messing with. It'll come to me, documented cases where when a Christian woman has screamed the name of Jesus, that the attacker has stopped and ran. He works. Now, I will not give you a promise that you will be delivered every time, as much as I give you a promise, the Lord will either deliver you from it or through it. He will. He's done it time and time again. Where to run? Number three, the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and have confirmed it that I will observe Thy righteous ordinances. The Word of God. So I've shared with you, and I haven't gotten an update this morning. I apologize. I did not get a call to Paul yet this morning. But Lynn Prince has went through quite the week and the such. But she is, as best as we know, she has a UTI now. So that's what they're battling now. But they have written off, if you will, the bleeding issue. They've written off the heart issue. There's no more blood clots. And basically, they're taking care of the blood on the brain through blood thinner. And so now they got the UTI. As soon as the hospital says you're good to go, Paul's plan is to take Lynn to Tulsa, the next closest hospital, big hospital, spend the night. Then go to Springfield, spend the night, then get home. That's their hope. And so you pray for them that that will work, or God will give them a better plan, whatever the case may be. With that said, twice this week, and Brother Steve, you were talking, and then Mandy came and gave the same testimony. Lynn was just having a horrible fit of pain early in the morning. And so for an hour solid, Paul read Psalms over her. And she finally got to sleep. He did that twice. Guess what Bible he was using? The Gideon Bible that was placed in that room. I guarantee you that that book that evening was a lamp unto Paul's feet and a light unto his path. Where to run? Number four, the power of God. I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in Jehovah. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought Jehovah, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be confounded. This poor man cried, and Jehovah heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Here it is. The angel of Jehovah encampeth around about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that Jehovah is good. Blessed is the man that taketh refuge in Him. Oh, fear Jehovah, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. A reverential respect of God and who He is. The fear of God. Why would David, during those years while he was anointed king, but running from the existing, it'll come to me, king that was no longer respected by God. God had removed him as king. He just didn't get the memo. And he was still serving as king, and nobody in Israel fought that. And he's chasing the new king to kill him. Because, you know, the best way to get rid of your competition is to take him out. Just ask Kim Jong-un, or however you say his name. And we don't know. Hey, watch this. Isn't that neat? A report comes out one week that he's killed all of his, you know, team that helped him with Trump. The next week, one of them shows up at a press. Folks, check your sources. Can I get a witness? Check your sources. Right or left, check your sources. So the bottom line here is where to run the power of God. David said, I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. He could have killed Saul twice. Two times he had an opportunity. One of them was in a cave. Saul was asleep. Paul was standing beside him. But he could not, would not do it. Why? The fear of the Lord. You and I should run to the power of God. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Number five, where to run? The presence of God. But like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. 1 Peter 1:15, 17. If you want the presence of God, you've got to repent of sin. You've got to call it what God calls it, and you've got to refuse it and turn the opposite way. Where to run when you need, or when you are in desperate times? The presence of God. And that takes a complete reckoning of sin in your life. Number six, where to run? The preferred actions of God. Listen to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Jehovah require of thee? Here it is. But to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is what you and I are to do if we want to be able to run to God. The preferred actions of God. Do right, love kindness, and walk humbly with thy God. I just can't get away from this experience I had yesterday. I'm at the Ace store in Washington, and they've got still a lot of flowers and stuff out. And it's June. You know, as gardeners and such, that we're about past planting time, and they've got all of this stuff still to sell. This young lady, teenager, she's very talkative, so we're talking about everything that's in front of us here. I'm trying to buy some flowers for the front of the parsonage and the such. But what I'm seeing is something that maybe not everybody sees. And I'm seeing pot after pot of dirt that has a flower in it that's fixing to die. That dirt needs a home, folks. And I'm just the place for that dirt to have a home. And so I start asking this lady, what are you going to do with all this? Oh, we throw it away. And then she says, it just kills me to do it, but we just throw it away. Well, could you throw it in my truck just as easily? Oh, well, you'd have to ask the big guy for that. Now, we've had a great conversation up to this point. If I'm not going to walk justly and humbly and treat other people right, I'm going to start to lean on her. Oh, come on now. Surely you can, you know, do we have to ask him? You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't want anyone to put me in that position. And if you and I are going to live right, we're not going to put anyone else in that position either. And you are good folks, so I know I'm preaching to the choir. But that's an example of this. So I went to the manager, and we talked it out. And if I can get a container to him, I'm going to get some free dirt. Now, I know all of you looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. That's exciting. Yeah, I got a brother out there. It's exciting. Because I don't know about you, but the dirt that God originally created, it's tired. It's tired and it needs some new dirt. It's all His anyway. But when you get that stuff, it's called compost. And I can't speak for you, but this old boy gets excited when you start talking about compost. You know what the next world is? Worms. Because you got to have worms to get your compost. And we got people here that have fish that need those worms. Can I get a witness, Brent? Yeah. Bo's trying to witness and Melody's suppressing the spirit. Here we go. Or something, right? Where to run? Number 7. We're almost done. Hang with me. The people of God. Well, now, so far, we've just been talking about God. Where to run? The people of God. I won't give you great detail, but had a person call me. Says, Brother Ben, I need to talk. What are you doing to Mark 10? We got together. We sat down and we talked about God's Word. We talked about the issue that this person is in. God helped this person because of one of God's people. You and I should run to each other in our desperate times. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So one more Paul story. He's in trouble. Paul has had, you talk about a roller coaster effect this week. At one moment, she's got one stroke. Oh, it's two. Oh, it's three. Oh, it's four. At one moment, he's looking at another blood clot. At the next moment, he's looking at bleeding in the abdomen. So on and so forth. A roller coaster. One particular day, I believe it was Wednesday, he walks out of the room and just leans against the wall and just starts losing it. This black lady walks up to him and says, "Can I help you?" And I don't know if you know Paul very well, but he just tells her the whole story. This black lady hugs him, prays a prayer that he says, "I've never heard before." And after the prayer, she looks at him and says, "Your wife's going to walk today." She hadn't walked since Saturday. He's like, "Well, I hope so." "Oh, no, I'm telling you, she's going to walk today." He no more gets back to the room. Sister-in-law says, "You missed it." "I missed what?" "Lynn just walked." Huh. God works in mysterious ways. So now I don't know how well you know Paul, and Paul's probably going to explain all this to you in a testimony at some point. But she comes back in the room, this lady does, a couple days later to be introduced to Lynn. And she says, "Your husband invited me to your house." This lady lives in Texas. And she said, "I'm going to come." And Paul says, "Brother Ben, you got to meet this lady." He says, her and Charles Stanley are best friends type thing. So apparently this woman is a big deal in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. When you need a place to run, church, run to God's people. God will bless you. He'll help you. So here it is, where to run when you need to run. The person of God, the name of God, the word of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the preferred actions of God, and the people of God. Would you stand? Musicians, will you come? I hope and pray that God has not led me to this message because some of you are headed towards trouble this week. I truly do pray that. I'll tell you a true story. The Sunday before my wreck in 2009, September the 19th, I believe, 2008. Yeah, I knew my wife would correct me because I remembered. The Sunday before that Friday, I preached the message. Trouble's coming. I did. I've still got it over there in the file folder. Trouble's coming. I had no idea that was for me. And so this sermon may just be for Pastor Ben today, and if that's the case, hallelujah, praise the Lamb. I know where to run. Church, I hope and pray you know where to run. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to help us to run to you today. If there's someone here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, we pray that they'll run down this aisle today. Father, help them to come in this invitation. We're inviting them to receive you. Help them to come and receive you as Savior. Father, any other need, any other situation, we just pray they'll make this an old-fashioned altar and meet you and run to you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's sing.